Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Building a Sustainable Family Office by Scott Saslow is a practical non-fiction guide to creating, operating, and renewing a family office capable of serving wealth owners across generations. Written from the perspective of a family office principal rather than an outside advisor. The book focuses less on investment theory alone and more on the institutional, interpersonal, and governance conditions that determine whether a family office remains useful over time. Saslow draws on his own experience building and rebuilding a family office, alongside insights from other principals and service professionals, to examine what tends to work and what often fails. The book treats a family office as more than an administrative vehicle for assets. It is presented as a structure for stewardship, decision-making, communication, family continuity, and sometimes broader social or philanthropic purpose. Its main value lies in helping principals ask the right foundational questions before they commit capital, hire staff, or formalize long-term structures. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a durable family office begins with a clearly stated purpose, not a portfolio. One of the central ideas in building a sustainable family office is that a family office should not be defined only by investment management. Protecting and growing capital may be essential, but Saslow treats that function as a baseline rather than a sufficient reason for the office to exist. A sustainable office needs a purpose that explains why the family is pooling resources, what shared outcomes it wants, and how the office should serve current and future generations. This purpose may be internally focused, such as supporting an operating business or coordinating complex family needs, or externally focused, such as philanthropy, impact investing, or civic contribution. The practical importance of purpose is that it gives decision makers a standard for evaluating trade-offs. Without it, debates over fees, managers, asset allocation, family participation, or charitable priorities can become disconnected arguments about preferences. With it, the office can judge whether activities reinforce a common mission. Saslow also links purpose to next-generation engagement. Younger family members are less likely to remain involved if the office is merely a financial utility managed by others. A compelling purpose can make stewardship feel meaningful rather than obligatory. Secondly, family membership and participation rules must be defined before conflict hardens. The book emphasizes that family offices often become complicated because the meaning of family changes over time. A founding generation may assume the answer is obvious, but later generations introduce spouses, in-laws, step relatives, branches with different wealth levels, and members with different interests in governance. Saslow highlights the need to clarify who is included in the family office, what inclusion means, and how expectations about access, information, distributions, and decision rights are communicated. This is not a merely legal question. It affects trust, perceived fairness, and whether relatives understand the difference between being a beneficiary, an owner, a board participant, an employee, or a passive family member. The reasoning is straightforward. Ambiguity tends to postpone conflict rather than remove it. If roles are not defined early, disagreements can emerge at emotionally difficult moments, such as inheritance events, leadership transitions, marital changes, or liquidity needs. Saslow also acknowledges that not every family member is suited for every role. Participation should reflect interest, capability, time commitment, and the needs of the office. Clear definitions protect both the institution and the relationships around it by reducing assumptions. Thirdly, governance and operating design should precede complex investment decisions. Saslow positions governance as a prerequisite for a high-performance family office. The book suggests that families often focus quickly on investments because markets, managers, and opportunities feel concrete, while governance feels procedural. Yet without an operating design, even strong investment ideas can be undermined by unclear authority, inconsistent reporting, weak oversight, or disagreement about objectives. Governance includes mission statements, decision processes, meeting rhythms, accountability structures, documentation, and rules for when matters should be escalated to principals or boards. It also involves the practical architecture of the office, what is handled internally, what is outsourced, and how external advisors are supervised. The value of this emphasis is that it treats the family office as an organization rather than a loose collection of service relationships. A family may have excellent lawyers, accountants, investment advisors, and consultants, but if no one has defined how their work fits together, principals may receive fragmented advice or lose visibility into risk. Governance also helps families avoid over-reliance on one trusted individual whose departure can destabilize operations. Saslow makes the case that sustainability depends on repeatable processes, not only trusted personalities. Fourthly, talent selection depends on trust, relational judgment. and the right scope of expertise, building a sustainable family office gives significant attention to talent management. A subject that can be underemphasized in books centered on wealth strategy, family offices are often lean, private, and highly dependent on judgment, confidentiality, and fit. Saslow, therefore, treats hiring and advisor selection as strategic decisions rather than administrative tasks. Technical skill matters, especially in investment management, tax, accounting, legal coordination, and estate planning, but the family office context also requires discretion, emotional intelligence, and the ability to work with principals who may have different levels of financial knowledge. The book warns against assuming that principals can or should make every specialized decision alone, particularly when they lack deep experience in finance or complex asset management. At the same time, outsourcing does not remove responsibility. Principals need enough understanding to ask informed questions, evaluate fees, monitor performance, and detect misalignment. The key reasoning is that a family office operates at the intersection of money, identity, privacy, and control. A technically impressive professional who cannot manage family dynamics may create friction. While a trusted relationship without adequate expertise can expose the family to poor decisions. Lastly, sustainability requires periodic pivots and sometimes accepting that an office should change form. A distinctive theme in Saslow work is that sustainability does not mean preserving the same structure indefinitely. Family offices exist to serve changing families. And those families may experience generational transitions, deaths, marriages, divergent goals, liquidity events, geographic dispersion, or different views on philanthropy and risk. The book encourages principals to evaluate regularly what is working and what is not, rather than waiting for a crisis to force change. This includes assessing whether the office still has a shared purpose, whether governance remains credible, whether service providers are meeting current needs, and whether family members still want a centralized structure. Saslow also acknowledges a point that many advisory discussions avoid. There may be situations in which disbanding, splitting, or substantially restructuring the family office is more rational than preserving it for symbolic reasons. If consensus no longer exists, a common office can become a source of cost and conflict rather than continuity. This perspective makes the book practical rather than idealized. It treats the family office as an adaptive institution whose legitimacy depends on usefulness. Long-term stewardship, therefore, requires both continuity and the willingness to redesign systems when circumstances change. In conclusion, building a sustainable family office is best suited for family office principals, inheritors preparing for stewardship roles, founders considering whether to formalize a single family office, and advisors who want to understand the concerns of the families they serve. Readers looking for a technical manual on asset allocation or tax engineering may find that the book has a broader institutional focus. Its practical benefit is in helping families sequence their thinking, define purpose, clarify membership, establish governance, choose talent carefully, and remain willing to adapt. Intellectually, it reframes the family office as a living organization shaped by family identity and decision quality, not simply as a private investment platform. The book stands out in its category because it is written from the inside by someone who has participated in the building and rebuilding process. Rather than only advising from the outside, that perspective gives weight to topics that standard wealth management books can treat too lightly, especially interpersonal expectations, principal preparedness, and the fragility of offices during transition. Its realistic positioning is as a candid guide to foundational questions. It does not promise a universal model, but it helps readers see why structures that work for one family may fail for another unless purpose, governance, people, and adaptability are aligned. If you would like to support Scott Saslow, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.